You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting, the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet, chasing bear. On this episode of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast, we're getting back into some tactical how-to stuff with our good friends at Northwoods Bear Products. And we're talking with one of the owners, Colby McReynolds. We're going to talk about baiting bears. We're going to talk about how to use commercial scents inside of baiting bears. So you're going to hear about some of their products, but mainly what we're trying to do is educate people on how to use their scent products. Because if you're baiting bear, it just makes sense to be using commercial scents because they put off a more powerful scent profile than basically any natural base scent that you can have. Granted, there are some great natural scents that you can use as well. As we get into this is a little bit different than what we've been doing. Again, this is like a tactical podcast, which is, that's what a lot of people want. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to tactics, but I'm also a sucker for a good story and just a fun time. So this is kind of both of those things combined. I also want to put in there the conservation angle, which I think is so important on everything that we do inside of bear hunting. Hunting over bait is often misperceived as many, many different things. But I'm here to tell you that some of the toughest hunting that I do are baited hunts, and they're do-it-yourself baited hunts that I do here in Arkansas and in Oklahoma. Baiting bears is a fantastic way for selective harvest inside of hunting. If you're targeting an older, mature male, it's extremely challenging to target one and successfully take him over bait. But also, baiting with cameras and using scents and all this stuff is a great way to be highly selective. So let me ask you a question. Inside of conservation, which guy is more honorable? The guy that goes out and shoots a younger juvenile bear using some other method, or the guy that's using bait, takes years before he harvests an animal and kills an older mature male over bait? That's probably not a real fair analogy, but from a conservation angle, the guy that's targeting the older mature males over bait is the conservation winner. Because like for myself, I don't kill bear over bait every year in Arkansas and Oklahoma. Actually, I haven't killed a bear over bait in Arkansas, I think since 2011. Granted, I have taken, I believe, 3 or 4 bears in Oklahoma over bait in the last 5 years. My point is that you can't just look at something and say, oh man, they're just putting out donuts and bait. That's not fair chase. That's not hunting. Man, it is. And you've caught me on my soapbox because as hunters, I feel like we need to stand together. You know that. You hear me talk about all the time. But we also need to look at different parts of hunting as they are, which these baited hunts are conservation hunts because they're taking place in places that spot and stalk hunting just could not fulfill the management goals of the science-based organizations that are designed to make bear populations thrive, like in Oklahoma, Arkansas, these places. Man, they want to take out a certain percentage of bears every year, and baiting is the only way that they can do it. And so that's what we do. So you're going to enjoy this podcast with my good friend Colby McReynolds of Northwoods Bear Products. And also, Bernie Behringer's on here for a couple minutes. We're at the ATA show in Louisville, Kentucky. You're going to like it. Welcome to the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. We are again at the ATA show, Archery Trade Association show, 2019, Louisville, Kentucky. And we are at the Northwoods Bear Products booth. And I've got with me Colby and Bernie. And Colby,
introduce yourself first. I'm not going to say much at all. Introduce yourself, and then we'll do the same for Bernie. And then I'll go ahead and tell everybody what we're going to talk about. I want to hear an introduction from you guys. Then I want to hear from you, Colby. Colby's the one of the owners of Northwoods Bear Products. I want to hear about your business as if someone who didn't know anything about it, like bear scents and what you guys do, because you produce bear scents for attracting bears for hunting. So I want to hear about that. And then we're going to talk, Bernie, and this is where you can get involved, is how we're using these products out in the field and how people can use this stuff. But and Northwoods has been a longtime partner of Bear Hunting Magazine, so I've known these guys. Bernie is a columnist in the magazine. But go ahead, Colby. Tell us who you are.
All right. Well, I'm Colby McReynolds, co-owner of Northwoods Bear Products. Okay. So I'm one of the owners, me, my dad, and Brian. He's overworking the booth right now. We are all three equal part owners in Northwoods Bear Products. Yeah. And it's exactly what you said. You know, we manufacture bear attractants, you know, commercial scents for, you know, the purpose of attracting bears, you know. And it's mostly black bears, but we do actually, you know, some of our stuff crosses over and does quite well with, like, grizzlies, browns, stuff like that. So
So give me, like, a rundown of the types of products, like you have these dry powder scents.
Yep.
You have sprays. If you could categorize it.
Yeah. So our spray scents, they come in a little bit larger volume. You know, they're a 32-ounce jug. And they're ready to pop a sprayer in and use as is. You know, it comes with a sprayer, and the idea behind it is, you know, use it as a cover scent and also as an attractant. Okay. So each time we're in and out of that bait, you know, everybody baits at a little different rate. You know, for us, when we're up in Minnesota, you know, we can only get up there once a week. And in Wisconsin, we can bait every day. So when we're in Wisconsin, we go ahead and we spray that every time we're in and out. And I don't really get married to one spray scent. You know, I may switch it up throughout the year. But the idea behind it is I spray it up in the trees around the area. Our spray scents will spray out, you know, 20, 30 feet. You can fine mist it, or you can streak, shoot it, you know, and cover some distance. So I like to get that up and around the tree stand prior to, you know, when we go in there to hunt. So it's just kind of, they're used to that scent up in the air. And that way it does work well as a cover scent, you know, when you do actually go in to hunt. So, that's one, you know, that would be the application for the spray scents.
Yeah. How long has Northwoods been in business?
So we've actually been in business for about 12 years. We have made our own attractants for going on 30 years.
Now, did your dad start the business?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. My dad did. At the time I was, you know, I was still kind of a young buck when when he started the business up.
You were wanting
him
to make, like, bubblegum scents.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. You bet. Cheerios. So as it started, you know, this was just something that, you know, we were kind of messing with, just honestly, we were hunting bears, and that's where our focus was, and we were trying to do whatever we could to either outbait, outperform, you know, our competition.
Yeah.
And so we started manufacturing our own, you know, scents, and they've all evolved over the years, but you know, what started out is buying just a little bit of anise at, you know, the grocery store, and things you pick up along the way, and it kind of started from there, and it branched out and got bigger, and I guess the biggest thing was the people that did come and hunt with us saw the success we were having, and I think we related it a lot back to the use of attractants. And so, you know, we were getting a lot of people along the way saying, hey, you guys should really start up a business and, you know, and market this stuff. So that's kind of how I got started.
That's where you are.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's, to me, that is a great segue in here to talking with Bernie Barringer. Because as a person who baits bear myself in Arkansas and Oklahoma, and I hunt in Canada every year, and some people don't understand why you need to use commercial scents, because they're like, well, the bait that we're using already has scent properties. And the truth is, you could put out a bait with just your bait, and you could get bears to come into it without commercial scent. that's the, but the reason we use it is because this stuff is way more powerful than any, than just right. about any natural scent that right. you're going to be able to have. So you're going to attract more bears. You're going to, the bears are going to get this oil-based stuff on their feet, on their fur, on their pads. They're going to track it all over. So it basically amplifies the scent signature of your bait
right.
dramatically. But yeah, before we jump into that, tell us who you are, Bernie.
All right, Bernie Behringer. I'm just a guy that's addicted to bear hunting and been doing it for about 20 years and have killed a few bears.
Yeah. Well, so, and you're more than that. You're a columnist in Bear Hunting
Magazine.
I'm
a full-time outdoor writer and a columnist.
Full-time
and
outdoor
I have a YouTube channel that has a lot of bear hunter followers, too.
Yep.
So yeah.
And you run Bucks, Bulls, and Bears.
Bucks, Bulls, and Bears, the weekly email news blast, yeah. And yeah. And I've been sponsored by Northwoods Bear Products for several years, and I love their products, and it's very, very easy for me to promote them. So, yeah. You know, you mentioned that you could go out and put a bear bait out without any scent. And still probably attract some bears. Well, you could also drive a Pinto station wagon instead of an
exactly.
Escalade, too, if you want. But
right.
these really make all the difference in the world. And particular, I like their Gold Rush. It is it's a super concentrated formula that you mix with cooking oil.
Yes.
And it, you can put 1 or 2 ounces in 5 gallons of cooking oil, and it is incredible the way it smells. I open all my baits. When I put a new bait out, that's what I use nowadays to open all the baits. And if I could describe what it smells like, it's sort of like a butterscotch caramel. It,
yes.
You know, if you're familiar with like Werther's candy, you know how addicted
yep.
those things are? That's kind of what it's like. And the bears, they really, really like it. And it's super loud, very strong. So
yep.
I use that for opening all the baits. When I put out a bait, I use 3 levels. I like stuff on the ground, I like stuff at the bear's level, and I like stuff up high.
Yeah.
And that kind of covers all of the whatever wind direction you're going to have and
yeah.
thermals and everything like that. So, you know, the Gold Rush, that's the ground. I spread that on all around the bait and stuff like that. And then the spray scents.
Hey, let me stop you right there with the Gold Rush, because I want to talk specifically about that.
Okay.
Because to me, that is one of the – That's my favorite product that you guys make. It really is. And I want to say, too, that I am not a gadget guy. I mean, like, I don't want to sit here with you guys and promote a bunch of stuff that I don't believe that people need. I mean, that's just the truth. This stuff, if you're baiting bears, is the real deal. And Bernie said you mix it with oil. You can mix it with used fryer grease.
Right.
Like used fryer grease is
exactly,
a commodity
yeah.
that's relatively easy to get from restaurants. You get 5 gallons of fryer grease. And this Gold Rush, I've got a bottle here in my hand. It comes in 8-ounce bottles. And that will treat
40 gallons
of grease. And I'll tell you what I do. A lot of times I mix it a little hotter.
Don't tell people that, but that's what I do too.
I mean, it does. It will absolutely.
It works so good that you just want to add extra. You know, yeah. you just like you love putting it out there.
Yeah. But to me, the reason the fryer grease is so good is because it is a caloric. It has caloric value.
Right.
I mean, like it's something that the bears eat, but it's also it's oil based, and so it has the ability to stick on stuff, not be as influenced by moisture to dissipate. Get all over the bear's fur, his feet, all over him, and then he leaves, and he's leaving scent trails. Because when you're baiting bear, the biggest thing you're trying to do is attract as many bears as possible from as far away as possible, and the more scent signature that you can have on that bait that's not going to evaporate, is that's not going to go away within 3 days, is better. And, man, that fryer grease stuff, that Gold Rush, you can go back to a bait weeks after you've baited
the next year
and you still smell it
the next year. You start digging in the dirt, it's like I can smell it the next year.
Yes,
it's crazy.
It is powerful stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
and Colby mentioned something before we started the podcast. I've used the Gold Rush to make scent drags to get bait started.
Sure.
I think you've done that too before. Yeah. Bernie, but where you start a bait and then whether you tie a rag to a four-wheeler on a rope and you drive down logging roads that lead, you know, starting at your bait, or whether you go on foot. What I've done a couple of times is gone on foot into areas dragging a rag covered in Gold Rush.
Yeah.
And had tremendous response of bears finding it quick. But
yeah, well, yeah, I was going to say also then that, you know, I like to get stuff up high, like he mentioned spraying stuff up in the trees and things like that. And I found that the specific smells that are really good in the fall tend to be more like the fruit type smells, the natural foods type smells, the blueberry, cherry, and things like that. In the spring, stuff like a beaver caster has been really good for me in the spring. It's good year round, but
right.
particularly in the spring, that would be my number one choice. So I got it up high, I got it on the ground, and then people talk about bears tracking stuff around. Well, I like to get the stuff on the bear's fur, so I'll see the trails that they're coming in, and I'll spray the bushes along the sides of the trails where they're coming yeah. in and out of the bait. And then I just carry a bottle with me every time I bait, and yeah. I just freshen it up a little bit. And I'm a little different than some people. He says, you know, he likes to use a lot of different ones. You know, bears are all individuals. They kind of have personalities. That's really not the right word for it, but they are individuals right. and have individual
characteristics.
And some bears are, especially mature males, can be really much more intimidated by the bait package of smells, which includes the bait and the lures that you're using and your own personal scent and stuff like that. And if you change up too much on some of those big mature males, it can throw them off a little bit. They might back
yep.
off. So I tend to use the same. I pick one smell that I think is going to be good, and I just try to use the same one
yeah.
at each bait and just carry a bottle with me every time I go in.
You know, that's a good topic, and I'd like to hear from either one of you, and I think I know your opinion. You just said it, but it seems like the rational thing would be, well, multiple types of scents. You know, like, let's try the Gold Rush, and then let's try the Cherry Burst, and let's try this. You know, just thinking that they're going to be appealed to like a buffet-style scent. But what you're saying is that you don't like to do that.
Well, I don't like to change it up in midstream, I
okay.
guess is what I'm saying. Because, you know, the bears become accustomed to the smells and sights of the bait package. And it's not necessarily true
it's
of smaller
ones. It's just introducing something new to them that they're going to have to...
You know, a big mature male, he's skittish about this bait anyway. He walks in there like, I know I really shouldn't be here. You know,
yeah.
that's kind of the way they come in.
Yeah.
And so if you introduce something completely different in midstream, like after a week or 10 days, he might just go, you know, I think I'm just going to back off and wait till dark today because I don't really like this. So
yeah.
that's why I continue to use the same lure at, and I'll even make notes. I'm using cherry at this one, and I'm using blueberry at this one, and gold mist at this one, or whatever.
And I think the principle that you're tapping on there is just consistency.
Yeah.
Because at a bait site, you're trying to produce something that's very consistent, because in the natural world, consistency means safety. If that bear knows that, and consistency even like when you go to the bait and how many people you take in there. I mean,
right.
like you want to just do the same thing and be regimented as much as possible
right.
every time. So that would even fall into scents. You're saying use the same kind of scent.
Yeah, that's my preference. You know,
yeah.
Colby, you know, you and your dad been doing this for a long time. I'll let you talk about it a little bit. I know that I disagree with his dad. His dad's real hard to disagree with. I'll just tell you that right up front. He's pretty bullheaded. I guess that's a kind way to put it.
Yeah.
But we don't agree on everything, but we both kill bears. So
yeah.
Colby, want to address this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think I'll go back with what I said prior. You know, I'm not necessarily married to a specific spray scent. And I mean, you know, as far as like a specific flavor, you know, I won't just stick with that for the full year. What I guess I meant by that is I may have a dozen bait sites, and one of them might be exactly what Bernie said. I might have a combination of blueberry spray scent, cherry burst with the powder, and then I use, you know, the Gold Rush, you know, also.
Yeah.
And the next bait site down the road, I might be using cinnamon spray scent with a gold dust powder in the Gold Rush, you know. So it's I'll mix it up, you know, just to see what kind of reaction we get, you know, on
yeah.
different baits. Now, I do stay consistent with that bait, what
yeah.
scent I'm using. And if I do switch it up, I don't just switch it up for one night and then
yeah.
go back to something else. You know, if I switch it up, I'll stay consistent with that pattern, you know, for
right.
for sure a week, and just, you know, try something new. If you've got long periods of time, that, like in Wisconsin, we can bait from April 15th all the way through October.
So that's a long
yeah we've
time.
Got many, you know, many months to play with things and,
yeah.
and try out different, you
know.
Know,
I think for me to chime in on this with what I do, I just don't like to use a new spray or new loud scent like 2 days before I'm
right.
hunting.
Yep.
Like, So I use different scents on a bait.
Yep.
But I don't like to introduce something new, because I've heard of stories where guys, like a hunter coming on a guided hunt, brings his own scent. The outfitter's never used that scent before.
Yep.
He comes in and just douses this area. And to a bear, that's like yep. loud. It's like screaming in his ear.
Absolutely.
To us, it's, you know, we can smell it. But to a bear, that's his primary interaction
something
with the
new.
World. It's through his nose.
Yep.
And I've heard people, I've never experienced it, but I've heard people say they've seen bears come in and be like, wait a minute, this
yep.
place didn't smell like 10,000 cherries dropped
right.
out of the sky yesterday.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gets them on edge. But let me ask you a question, Colby. What is, and let me give context to the question. Regionally, different flavors might do better, and you've experienced that too, Bernie. Have you seen a flavor that's the best? And I realize from a, you're a businessman,
right.
so you don't want to pigeonhole people into like
right.
buying one thing because it's just worked for you. But is there a scent that worked? Because that's my question. Even, and I've used a ton of them, and I honestly can't say that I've seen like a massive, a tangible difference between one or the other, aside from the Gold Rush,
right.
which it's a, just a different product.
Yep.
Between the Gold Rush, which is a fryer, concentrated fryer grease additive, to the spray, to the powders, I feel like the concentrated stuff. But amongst flavors, is that a fair question?
Yeah, it is. And I'll say the same thing. I think far and away, Gold Rush is the most popular. It's our favorite product to use while we're out, you know, hunting, and it's just.
Did your dad melt down Werther's Originals and put it in
exactly
like canola
what
oil?
It is. No.
Back in like the 90s,
right.
he was like melting them down.
Yeah. No, it's a combination of a few things, and it just works well together. And,
yeah.
and like you
yeah,
said,
yeah.
that marriage it with the fryer oil, it's just the perfect combination. You know, it sticks to the trees, gets all over everything. They can drag it throughout the
yeah.
woods on their paws and hair. But back to your question. You know, regionally, I will say, like we do the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania show. See a lot of outfitters there, and it's fun to talk with them because they'll buy a wide variety of spray scents, and then they all, like, over the next couple of years, they each have their own. Like we've got one outfitter that just swears by Beaver Castle. That's all he uses. That's all he'll buy. That's all he uses with the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much with the powders. Now we've got another outfitter that is, you know, not too far. They're not overly far from one another. He swears by blueberry, and that's all he does, you know, is blueberry powder, blueberry spray scent, and Gold Rush. So, you know, it's... You know, I think it's a lot to do with personal opinion and what you perceive your bears, how they're reacting to the scent that you're putting out.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have, you know, a far
like
and away favorite. Right. Yeah. That
yeah.
that just outperforms everything else. You know,
I
tend to lean on blueberry a lot when I'm in Minnesota only, you know. Just
let me ask you a question. Do you like blueberries?
I do.
That's why. Okay, there it is. You
know,
confirmed
exactly.
It. You confirmed
yeah,
it.
And that's why. So
that's the way I pick it. I'm
yep.
like, when I get multiple kinds of Northwoods every year, and I think it depends on whether I'm hungry or not.
Right.
Like, I'm like, do I get the blueberry or the donut? Oh, donut sounds good.
Right, exactly.
I'm kind of being funny, but I'm being serious, too.
No, and you're right.
I think a lot of it, like, this is what I've always tried to understand, is a bear doesn't perceive the world like a human does.
Right.
And we know that from the way that they interact with bait. A bear would rather eat a white oak acorn as he would a glazed donut.
Yep.
To us, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, like, so I feel like they're interacting with the scent different than we are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're trying to humanize them in a way, like, oh, he'd like a donut.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that's negative. I'm just saying probably any of them would work. That's my point.
That's my point. Yeah,
any
and I couldn't agree
work.
More with you, you know, and I think any of them will work, you know, and I think
right.
we gravitate to the ones that are more potent, you
yeah.
know, the ones that reach out and slap you in the nose, you know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the ones we gravitate to. Oh my gosh, that smells so powerful. So it's unbelievable. To you and I, it is. They can smell, what is it, 300,000 times better than you and I? So
a lot better.
It's unbelievable. So, yeah, like I said, we gravitate towards those that are more pungent and everything, and what we associate with that region, you know, like in Minnesota, and, we got a lot of blueberries, Wisconsin.
And that's a valid point. Is that what you were going to talk about?
I was going to mention that. I think that people, you know, I worked a booth with these guys quite a bit. People come walking by, and they look, and they go, oh, yeah, they got a blueberry scent. You know, we got blueberries in our area. Bears probably eat blueberries. We'll try that. You know, it's either that or they – it's like you say where this one – I'd like to put this one on my pancakes. I'm going to take this one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, everybody judges different. But the reality is what we're doing here is we're just putting a scent in the air that a bear walks downwind and he goes, you know, I got to walk over there and check that out. That's really all we're doing.
Yeah.
And all of the flavors will do that at the right times. And, you know, I keep saying this, but bears are individuals, and some of them will prefer a candy scent.
Yes.
And some of them will prefer a fruit scent, and some of them will prefer more of a, like a, like the beaver caster or something like that. So it's really hard to say which one could be the best.
I'll never forget when I first started baiting bears in Arkansas, I heard a lady that was, I just remember who she was. She's become a friend of mine. She told me a story, and at the time it was something I'd never seen, but she said she one day put out these little fried pies, you know, like a blueberry pie and a lemon pie, like you'd buy at a gas station, just like a little individually wrapped. And she said a bear came in, and he picked through those pies, and when he would bite into a lemon pie, he would spit it out. And then he'd go, and I learned that, is that...
Yeah.
They're just like us.
Yeah, they are. They're just like us. They have specific flavors. I had some, I bought a bunch of gummy bears one time, and one of the boxes that accidentally got thrown in was sour gummy bears. And I gave that, it was like, I put it out, the bears didn't eat it. And another guy, I saw him at the, Lucky 7 Bear Bait. When I was there the next time, I said, yeah, I tried those sour gummy bears. And the guy's like, oh, man, I use the heck out of those. They work great. I'm like, the bear that came in wouldn't eat them.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're all different. And it's funny how bears will pick through a bait. And one bear will come in, and he'll dig through all the sweets, and he'll dig down to the beef fat or whatever.
Right,
you know, and I had a situation
certain
where...
certain times a year when they do that.
Yeah.
They'll wade through all the donuts to get to... I've seen one wade through donuts later in the fall season and grab a beef bone and crunch it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and you're like, wait a minute. You're crunching on a rotten bone.
Yeah.
Rather than eating these fresh donuts. But just for that time of year, that's what they wanted.
And I had a guy had a fruit stand that gave me a bunch of watermelons. And I took these watermelons and put them out on my bear baits. And I come back the next 2-3 days, and these watermelons are just sitting there. And I'm like, oh, I guess they don't want watermelon. And I just kind of kicked one of them and to look inside of it, see if it was rotten or something like that. And it looked okay to me. Well, I come back the next day, and every watermelon was completely cleaned up. Well... they just had never opened it, I guess.
Yeah,
but once it was open, they smelled it and they ate it. So
I mean, there's not many watermelons in the Minnesota bush up
No,
there.
Not too many. Watermelons don't do well. That and alligators, they don't do well in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go to a meeting, man. It's been
okay,
great
Bernie.
Talking with you. And
thank you.
Thanks for everything that you've done. And thanks for Northwoods Bear Products, man. I got a great relationship with them. I love their products, and they've helped me kill a lot of bears.
Yep.
So thanks, man.
Right on, Bernie. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie.
Well, Colby, I think I started off by talking about how, well, let me back up. Anybody that's baiting bears, if you're going to invest the time and energy into gathering bait, putting out a bait site, you need to be using commercial scents. And there's tons of guys in the bear baiting community that don't. Because, I mean, it does cost money.
Yeah.
It is another thing that you have to buy. But my whole point to people is, and again, the purpose being of this, not even as much to sell as Northwoods Bear products, but just to get people using scents in general.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole concept of it.
Yeah.
Is that it's going to make, you're going to attract more bears. And over a period of time, you're going to end up being able to kill the bear you want. Because it's just another layer to your strategy of attraction.
Yeah.
And so just in general, if you're baiting bears and you're not using commercial scents, you're missing out. And then obviously we want them to buy we want to buy from you guys.
Right.
And it's great stuff. So that's not what I'm saying. My point is that this isn't a sales pitch. This is a pitch to, man, if you're going to be putting in this energy and effort, try it.
Yeah.
Try it. And I have some, to me, the most beneficial time that I've used these has been in starting a bait. And talk to me about, like, how you like to use it, and so do I, throughout the baiting sequence.
Yep.
But, how do you use it?
Okay, so we're speaking right now about Gold Rush is the product that we're talking about.
Okay.
You know, and we use it the same way. That is absolutely how we fire up every single one of our bait sites. We mix Gold Rush with fryer oil, shake it up. This last year, I actually, usually what I do is I'll take 5 gallons of fryer oil, I'll take an ounce or two of Gold Rush, pour it in there, shake it up, dump the majority of it on the ground in front of the bait site, take the last little bit and maybe throw it up, you know, maybe okay. head high, just to kind of cover that, you know, I guess zone two is Bernie described
yeah.
it, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This year, however, I wanted to try something new. I used the grease, and I put it in a 1 gallon spray pump, like a weed sprayer.
Okay.
And so I had a gallon of grease, and I added just basically a cap full of Gold Rush. So same ratio, you know. And pumped that baby up, and I sprayed it on the ground, sprayed it everywhere, and I was just able to kind of broaden that area that I was dispersing the Gold Rush into. Now I was able to shoot it at a stream out further behind
okay.
the bait site, you
okay.
know, whereas when you're pouring it out, you're concentrating right on in front of the bait site. They're stepping in it, and that's great.
What you're doing is you're increasing the surface area
yes.
of that
yep.
product so that air, you know, it can disperse better.
Yes, yep. And then I would spray it down the trails that where they were walking in on. Just, you know, on the same concept of getting it, you know, in the hair follicles, even on their pads and everything. And they're taking that out. They're doing the work for you at that
point.
They're
doing the work.
You know, so they're really spreading that out for you. And the calling power of Gold Rush is really unbelievable. I'll tell a short story about an outfitter in northern Saskatchewan that very skeptical. Outfitters are by far the hardest sell. They've been doing it for a very, very long time
yep.
at a very high level.
Yep.
And so anything new, they're very skeptical about.
Anything they've got to spend money on.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. And so we were having a discussion with one. And I said, well, hey, why don't you just try one single bottle of Gold Rush out on one bait and we'll see what happens, you know? And so we agreed to that. So what ended up happening, and the exact numbers I don't remember, but it was somewhere around 2 Boning Crockett bears and 4 Pope and Young bears in 1 week time came off the same bait and the only bait they used Gold Rush on.
Really?
And a bait, one of the Boone and Crockett bears that came to this bait was completely nocturnal 8 miles away, never had visited that bait site before, showed up there during the daylight, and they got that bear. And they had been after that bear for a few years. And so he was completely sold from that point, just blew him away, you know. And and they joke about it, you know, the guys that were in the camp that week, we've talked to a few of them, we're friends with a few of them, and they were like, it was just, you know, it was crazy, you know, that they cherished that 1 8-ounce bottle of Gold Rush like it was actual gold, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was a neat story. And we've got multiple stories like that, especially.
I want to tell one too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this would be the kind of story that I hear more of. My good friend, who's I call him the bear bait and Jedi of Arkansas, Ryan Greb. He's been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
He, and again, this story wasn't. He didn't make a big deal of this. He just told me this. Is he had a buddy in Oklahoma that was baiting bears, had a marginal property. It was a property that didn't really attract that many bears, but it was the private land this guy had access
sure.
to. It's all he had. He put out a bear bait there, and I want to say he had the bait out for like 3 weeks, and he had, I don't remember what he was baiting with, but it was good stuff.
Yep.
Not a single hit on the bait. He calls Ryan and says, "Ryan, what should I do?" Ryan Greb said, "You need to buy a bottle of Gold Rush." The guy bought it, put out Gold Rush, and in 2 days had his first hit on the bait.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it does. And to go back even a little bit more in depth on the original story I told about using a drag rag.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, baiting in Oklahoma, put out a bear bait in a place where it was an established bait. I'd baited there 1 year before. typically in baiting bears, if you, you know, bears remember where food is at certain times. And so typically once you get going, it's pretty easy to keep them coming in.
Yeah.
I'd baited 1 year before, so I thought, well, next year will even be better. I went out and put out my bait like I waited pretty late. I waited like 2 weeks before season. Put out my bait, came back 8 days later, and nothing had been to the bait, which was really surprising. And I was like, what's going on here? And that's when I did the Gold Rush drag rag just by foot. I cut off some paracord, put about a 4-foot strip hanging off my ankle, and went for a hike over into another scent area. You know, like in the mountains where we're hunting, Colby, and it's probably maybe the same way where you're hunting, but like you might have your bait down in this valley, and if the wind patterns aren't right, that scent is kind of contained.
Right, yeah.
And so I find that if you can
get up on a ridge,
drag over into the next valley, or get it out into another opening. What I did on this one was I walked down the creek to where it hit a bigger creek, and then walked down the bigger creek and basically spread out that scent signature.
Yeah.
And in like 8 hours, or I can't remember, I don't want to lie, it may not have been, it may not have been 8 hours. It was within hours, 24 hours maybe, at most. Can't remember. There was a bear.
You obtained your goal. You had a bear.
Bear was there,
site.
And it actually worked out great because my strategy that year was to wait until close to season to bait. I didn't want to bait them for 2 months.
And why was that? Was there other competition within the
area?
Well,
partly is it was took a half a day to bait that one spot.
Yeah.
By the time I drove there, and it was way back in. And I've found in Arkansas, when we're competing against natural food source in the fall, it's easy to hold a bear for a week.
Yep.
It's hard to hold a bear for a month.
Yeah.
And so if you can hit it just right and start later, sometimes you can hold a bear.
Yep.
You know, and every year I go back and forth. Sometimes I like to do that, sometimes I don't. But that year it bit me in the rear end because at first anyway.
Right.
And I baited 2 weeks before. 8 days in, still didn't have a bear, so I was like, doggone, should have baited earlier.
Right.
But then the Gold Rush saved me. And when that first bear showed up, then all the bears showed up. It was just like they were just out of that area. They were just somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they just needed a hint.
Yeah.
That,
so. No, and I we've had certain scenarios that are exactly the same, you know, existing bait sites that we've had for 20 years. You know, you bait them the first week and it should be like clockwork. You know, you should have 5-6 bears in there, and you come back and there isn't. We had that this year in Minnesota where we were at. And, you know, so I think in it, that might be a little bit of a, you know, a misconception too. You know, I think everybody thinks that, well, Clay Newcomb started a bear bait. There's going to be 30 bears on that bait site. It doesn't always come easy, you know, and we got to work for it and change our, maybe not our philosophy, but the way we do things a little
every
bit.
Every year can
it,
be a little bit know? Different.
Yeah. So, you know, and I love the fact that you brought up that you do only bait 2 weeks prior to the season, or maybe that's one way you've tried it and had some success now with it, because we see it both ways. We get the question a lot. You know, even outfitters in Wisconsin, there's a very large time frame that they can bait in Wisconsin and Canada and, you know, and other parts of the country as well. And in Minnesota, we can only bait 2 weeks prior to the season opener, you know, and we have a ton of success in Minnesota. And so then, you know, there isn't quantity limitations, though, or anything like that. We're in Wisconsin, and I speak to Wisconsin a lot because that's what I'm most familiar with, and that's where I'm from.
Maybe that would be a good place to give us an overview of – a lot of people might not be familiar, but, like, in some of the northeastern states, you can only – there's no baiting, but you can use scent.
Yes.
You can use a certain amount of scent, like
up
in New York
ounces.
And where else?
So New York and, New York's the first one that comes to mind. I'm
Pennsylvania, can they use scent?
No, they can't use anything at all.
Use anything.
Nope.
Okay.
But we do a show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and that draws a lot of people from their surrounding states. And so I can't remember the exact rules and regulations to each and every state.
But it's a
but
small
there's a,
amount
yeah,
of
there's,
scent that you
there's
can't
a few
use feed scents.
Or... Right. Yep. Like North Carolina just opened up bear baiting this year. And it is – hang on, Brian needs a bottle of blueberry here. Oh, the spray scent. Here you go. North Carolina opened up a bear baiting season this year, and they can use like corn. I want to say they can use peanuts, but there can't be anything
natural,
refined
natural
products.
Bait.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. It's got to be all natural. But a lot of those states up around that PA area can use up to 2 ounces, you know, and so that's where our powders and especially the Gold Rush in a format that isn't mixed with the grease really comes into play. We do a little test where we'll, you know, tip the bottle of Gold Rush upside down, just let a little bit run into the cap, take the cap off and wipe it out with a
Q-tip,
yeah, yep, and hold it in front of their face, and they can't have it within 4 feet because it's just so pungent, and it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it really grabs their attention because in a scent wick application, it works really well as well. So, you know, those states that, you know, are, well, listening maybe and are saying, man, I'd love to be able to do that. I just can't. You know, we can't bait. We can only use up to 2 ounces, you know, of any sort of attractant. So there you go. I mean, our Gold Rush can be used as a scent wick. Our spray scents can be used as a scent wick as well. Gold Rush is going to last a little longer, a little more pungent, really gets out there. The powders are super, super potent, as you know.
Yes.
It's very hard to explain over, you know, a podcast just how potent they are.
Right.
That scent really travels. And the best part about the powders themselves, they're 500 times sweeter than sugar. You know, it's not considered a bait, it's considered an attractant, and you can go ahead and sprinkle that out on logs and stuff. And just even on the ground, you know, anything that will absorb a little bit of water or something, that makes that much stronger.
Yeah.
And they really, really,
you know,
really
what I like about the powders when I use them is that it's not messy.
No, it's not at all.
All the other stuff is oil based.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, when you're carrying around a bottle of Gold Rush, it's kind of like you're carrying around a bomb.
You really are.
Like if it spills in your car, it's a good smell, but your car's going to smell like Gold Rush.
Oh, yeah, for a long time.
But point being, some people, like, I can throw this in a backpack, and like, because I have been doing some remote bait sites where I'm carrying stuff in.
I can't wait to hear more about those.
And but anyway, so it's kind of nice to have a dry powder
base. It sure
is. And it is super strong. You open it up and it's super strong.
Yeah. No, but, it is.
So. Yeah. Well, man, that's good. You know, my main objective was just to kind of familiarize people with your products, talk a little bit about how we're using them.
Yep.
And, you know, not everybody's going to bait bears, but there's a lot of states that can bait bears.
Yeah.
All the Canadian provinces except British Columbia and none of it, and some of the real northern provinces don't.
Right.
But they can bait bears on private land in New Jersey and North Carolina. They can bait bears, Arkansas, Oklahoma, a lot of the western states, the Great Lakes states, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan can bait bears. I mean, I don't know. I think there's like 17 states or something.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there, you know, and there's a few that, you know, like North Carolina just added theirs, you know, and so there's a few more popping up, and I guess I'm not sure 100% on the regulations in Florida.
Well, there's no hunt in Florida
right
now.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
I don't think
they took it away, and I don't know if there's any foreseeable future in bringing that back or not, you know, but I hope so.
Yeah, I hope it comes back too. And Colby, every time I'm talking about bear hunting, I always want to tie it back into conservation, which I feel like has got to be on the lips of every bear hunter in 2019, is that, you know, we're talking about using scents to attract bears. The end goal of this is that we could be selective in our harvest.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, and that's the way we should look at it, is that conservation-based hunting means that we are very selective in which animal we take.
Yep.
That's why I use scent products, commercial scents on my baits, is I'm trying to get that older, mature male where I can take him out of the population.
Yep.
And to me, it's a, you know, I mean, to somebody that didn't understand baiting, they're like, oh, man, these guys are, you know, using these high-powered scents to draw in bear. Well, there's a conservation side to it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if all you can draw into your bear, if you can draw in 5 animals rather than 3, there's a better chance in that 5 animals that you're going to have one that's an older, mature male that is the right one to take out of the population. That's also the right one that we're after as hunters too. We want to kill a big bear. We're not hiding that fact.
No, yeah.
But that's
absolutely
also the bear that we need to take out from a conservation perspective. He's already contributed to the gene pool. He's done his job. he's the perfect one to take out.
Yep.
So, you know, this is a tool.
Yeah.
A tool for that. But man, hey, thanks for being on the podcast, man.
No, it's my pleasure. It was great to listen to you and Bernie converse back and forth. And Bernie's a great guy to be around.
He really thinks analytically about bear baiting.
Yep.
I mean, probably more than anybody that I know.
We all tend to do
nerd
that,
out.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
Nerd so. Out. Well, cool. Well, hope you guys have a great ATA show.
And, it's been good.
Hey, guys, thanks for checking out the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. Check out Bear Hunting Magazine. We're the only print bear hunting magazine in the world. Big fish in a really small pond, but that's what makes us awesome. And check out our YouTube channel. You'll see I've got quite a few YouTube videos, especially the vlogs that we were doing back in the summer that highlighted the Northwoods stuff. We do some Northwoods giveaways every year. And so check out our YouTube channel. And any closing thoughts, Colby?
No. Just I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, keep the wild places wild, because that's where the bears live.